just want to say before it starts. We can go. I just want to say there's somebody here tonight. There's somebody in this room tonight that might not have been here a week ago.
His name is Ben Lazar.
Yeah! There's some people in here who might not be here in a week. But I just want to say I'm very happy that everybody who's in the room here tonight is in the room. On a certain level, everything that I took upon myself for this year is I've totally betrayed my own values for this. I just believe in you too much. So I'm happy you're here. Pasuk says in this week's parasha, "Vayikach es Rivka v'atihilo le'isha v'yehaveha." So the Torah tells us that after Eliezer found Rivka, so he brings her back. We all know the story. She fell off a camel, etc. She meets Yitzchak, and Yitzchak brings Rivka into the tent. V'atihilo le'isha, she becomes his wife. V'yehaveha. And then he loved her. So we usually think that who are you going to marry? You're going to marry the girl that you love. Love comes first, and then you get married. But that's correct. That's not the way it works. The Torah is telling us over here a deep foundational point, fundamental point about what love is. I have to say that also, by the way, I'm trying to be concise over here. It's like a 5-week course that I gave in foundations into 20 minutes, but I do the best I can. Vatikach lo es Rivka vatilo leisha vayehaveha. And he took her and he loved her. What is love? So in Western society, based on Greek culture, love is that you fall in love. Like you're walking down the street and then all of a sudden there's a huge pothole and you fall. You fall into love. Oh my gosh! Somebody get me out of here. Somebody like, help me out. I've fallen in. Who's the symbol of love in Greek society? Cupid, that little angel guy, right? What does he do?
Aphrodite.
Okay, whatever. Cupid, what's Cupid? Cupid's Christian? Okay. Cupid, just shut up and listen, guys. So Cupid is that little angel guy who comes around, and what happens? He shoots you with an arrow, and you fall in love, right? So, Cupid is in control of your emotions. Cupid gets to decide who you're in love with. Can you imagine? You're happily married for 10, 20 years. And, you know, this was the girl of your dreams. You know, in high school you were dating, or during yeshiva when you're supposed to be a night sitter. And like, you know, Cupid shot you and the two of you are in love. You get married, living happily ever after, some kids, whatever. And then one night, you know, you're in the office, you're working late. And then all of a sudden Cupid comes and he shoots you. And the secretary. Hey. And what are you going to do? You're going to go home and tell your wife, like, what can I do? Cupid shot me. I have no choice. I'm in love with the secretary. Out goes the wife, in comes the secretary. That's love in Western society. You've fallen in love. You're a victim of love. What is love according to the Torah? Rav Noach Zatzal said that love is choosing to focus on the virtues of the other person. It's a choice. You choose to fall in love, not to fall in love. You choose to be in love. Love is a state of being. Rav Dessler has a famous idea where he explains that love, the word ahava, is based on the word hav. I'm sure many of you have heard this already. Hav means to give. And he explains that we love those to whom we give. Normally we think we give to the people that we love, but that's not really the way it works. We love the ones to whom we give. If you think about your own relationships in life, who loves you the most in your whole life?
Your parents.
Who knows your faults the most? Your parents.
Friends.
Your parents probably they see it. They may not let you know that they see it, and you might not think that they see it, but they see it. Why is it that they're able to overlook all of your faults and deficiencies? Because they choose to look at your positives. Because they believe in you. Because they love you. That's what love is. Because they've spent 18 years investing in you. Giving their kishkas, waking up with you at night, changing a diaper, paying money for your tutors, paying money for your tuition. Schlepping you here and there. Paying your car insurance so you can get into accidents. Your parents love you the most because they've given to you the most. And that's why you are the most annoyed by them. Because you know why? Because at a certain level, nobody really wants to take. Nobody really wants to be the reception of somebody else's giving. Makes you feel uncomfortable. But afal pi chein, love develops from giving. Rav Dessler says, if there's somebody in your life that you don't love, it's only because you haven't given to them enough yet. And therefore, if you want to engender love in a relationship, you want to develop love in a relationship, you have to give to that person. But chevra, we have to choose very, very wisely who we decide to love and who we decide to give to. This is where it gets deep. So, the Torah is telling us that Tehila Elisha, that Rivka became Yitzchak's wife, and because he decided to give her shelter and to give her food and to be, provide for her as her husband, so Mimele he loved her. Because love develops from giving. There's a story about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish set up his sister with the Stipler Gaon, the great tzaddik of Tzvi Tzaddikim of Bnei Brak. How did the Chazon Ish make the shidduch? He read Shtikl Torah. He read a Torah article in a Torah publication written by the Stipler when he was a young man. And he said, this man is a fitting shidduch for my sister. Is that really possible just from reading something somebody wrote? So, I heard a story today about Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, who's a big makubal, a big tzaddik here in Yerushalayim. I've gone to him a few times myself, brachos, for advice. And he once had a young man who was having a hard time getting married, finding the right girl. He came to him and he said, I can't find the one. And he said, you should really know. You should really know that if two people are normal, they can make it work. They have to be happy with each other. They have to want to make it work. If two people are normal, and you have to look into people beforehand to make sure they're normal, you can make it work. Because marriage is all about giving. Love is all about giving. But you have to choose wisely. And here it gets deep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world for a purpose. We all have a mission in this world. Hashem created Adam HaRishon. He created mankind for a reason. And every single one of us has to complete that mission. Every single one of us has a responsibility, an obligation to fulfill our duty in this world. And you know how you're going to do that? Only with your partner. Only with your spouse. The Pasuk says in Bereishis that is, Hashem says after he created man, he says, you know what, it's not good for man to be alone. And he made for him a helpmate. So we all know the story. How did he make a helpmate? How did he make Chava? He took the rib out of Adam HaRishon and he built it into woman. The Gemara discusses why a rib, etc. We're not going to go into it now. But the Gemara in Kedushin says that, you know, it's interesting. The Pasuk says, when it talks about marriage, it says, Ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes a woman. So why is it phrased that way? Why can't it be when a woman takes a man? Why can't it be when a woman is taken unto a man? Like, why is it phrased that way, when a man takes a woman? Are you ready? The Gemara says, because man is lacking without his wife. The Gemara says it's like a mashal. Let's say a guy loses his wallet. Who looks after who? Who goes after who? Does the wallet chase after the man? Hey, I miss you. I want to be in your pocket. Hey, I want to spend the money and whatever. I got all your credit cards. Come find me. No, it doesn't happen like that. A person loses something, they are searching for that they are missing. man, Adam HaRishon, lost his rib, and therefore for eternity, every single one of us is looking to become complete once again. And that's why we desire women. Because we really feel, on a certain level, we really feel empty without having that completion. We really feel empty without the presence of a woman in our lives who is able to bring in components that compensate for our deficiencies. And therefore we feel chaser, we feel empty a little bit. And so therefore we are yearning our whole life once we come to a little bit of manhood. Once you hit your teenage years and the hormones start to develop and the girls in your class are starting to look a little prettier and the acne goes away and and you start to yearn. You start to feel a hunger. A hunger. Because you want to feel complete. We don't realize that that's how deep it is. We don't realize that it's such a profound manifestation of God's will. Of God saying, it's not good for man to be alone. He needs a partner. And that we're searching for that partner. We just think, we want to get our hands on a cute girl. But it's a very, very profound, deep emotion. It's a hunger that comes with us, that travels with us the rest of our lives. I mean, I never spoke to like a 90-year-old man about this, so I'm not 100% sure, but I assume so. It happens to be the Yitzhahara does slow down a little bit when, after you're married, when you get older, etc. But it's there's a Yitzhahara. There's that taiva, there's that desire, there's that passion. Why? Because you feel empty without it. You want fulfillment. You want completion. And the Gemara Misach HaSukkah tells us, Eiver katan yesh bo ba'adam. Every man has a limb. Masbio ra'ev, mar'ivo saveya. Masbio, if he satiates that limb, he is hungry. No matter how much he feeds it, he wants more, and he wants more. A certain desire, a certain passion, you give into it, you just want more. Mar'ivo, but if you starve it, saveya. You feel satiated. You feel comfortable. You feel fulfilled. We all know what it's like to be tempted by beautiful women on the streets. We all know what it's like to be tempted by beautiful women maybe in the Roma Square. We all know what it's like to be tempted by beautiful women maybe on our phones. But Chazal knew that we were going to face this challenge. You know why? Because it's part of who we are. It's part of the way Hashem created this world. Guys, if you're not mature enough to handle the conversation, then get out. But I'm telling you, this is how life works. Okay? As a man, you are programmed with a desire for women. Masbio raiv. If you fulfill that type of, if you give in to that desire, and you're constantly searching to make yourself feel fulfilled through that, you will be ra'ev, you will be hungry. You will continuously look for that easy way of making yourself feel good about yourself, that easy way of making yourself feel fulfilled and good about yourself. But ma'arivo, but if you starve it, saveh. Because the question is, who really is the king of your castle? Who really owns your Yetzirah? Who controls your body? The body is like a racehorse. It's this massive, massive body of muscle and speed and energy. And there's this short little jockey guy sitting on top with a little stick. And somehow, he's supposed to control this 300-pound beast. But how does he do it? Because he's got a brain. He's smarter than the horse. So your Yetzer HaTov has to be smarter than your Yetzer Hara. And guys, this is so crucial. It is so crucial for us to understand what our approach should be to girls. Because you have a purpose in this world. Hashem created you with a purpose. Hashem created you with a mission. And your mission is to be the greatest you that you can be, and to bring that out to the world, and to make this world improved in whatever way you can do. And in order to achieve that, you have a neshama, you have a soul, which is a piece of God itself, and that piece of God is so holy and so profoundly inspired and so profoundly connected to holiness. You have an opportunity to be like the Creator Himself. You have the ability to bring another human life into this world. You're a little God. You can create life. But if you waste that power, if you destroy that power, if it goes for naught because you're chasing after flimsy desires, you are taking your greatest power as a human being. I want everybody listening to this. I want everybody taking this in very, very strong. This is everything Rabbi Nachman talks about. This is everything that all the tzaddikim talk about. So take this in. Take this in for yourself. You have the power to be a creator. You are a little God. And if you waste that, and you destroy it by chasing after flimsy desires, you are wasting your greatest potential in life. You are wasting the reason why you were created in this world. Hashem put us in a world with many, many distractions. There are girls feet away from our dormitory who are very nice, I'm sure. I'm sure they have fine midos. I don't mean like measurements. I mean like character traits.
Nice!
But you have to ask yourself, guys, is that what I came here for? Is that what I came here for? You came to Israel this year to discover that piece of God inside of you. And for a cheap thrill this night or that night or even a few months, you're destroying your greatest potential. When you have your phone under the covers and you're looking at something inappropriate, you're destroying your greatest potential. You are a creator. You are a piece of Hashem Himself, put into this world with a mission to create. And you're just making your body feel good. You're just being a horse. A beast. An animal. So how do we do it? How do we conquer this? How do we overcome the desire to feed the horse, to feed the beast? Marivo saver. If you starve it, you will be satiated. You will feel content. So gentlemen, I know not everybody is there yet, but this should be a goal. This should be a goal to clean ourselves up. To discover self-mastery, control over our minds, control over our bodies, to be who we need to be. To hone in on who am I? What is my mission in this life? Why did God put me in this world? What does He want me to accomplish that nobody else in this world can do? Only me, by achieving my full potential. And leaving behind all the disgusting naughtiness of this world. How am I going to overcome that? We have to set boundaries for ourselves. We have to set a track facing forward of where we want to be. We have to set goals for ourselves in terms of our spiritual growth. We have to say, I want to be a learner. I want to be a davener. I want to be close to Hashem. I want to discover the beauty and the truth of Yiddishkeit. That's what I came here for. And work towards achieving that. Which means if I'm not davening 3 times a day, I'm working towards it. If I'm not getting to Seder on time, I'm working towards it. I'm pushing myself. I have goals. In another week this, in another 3 weeks this, in another 3 months this. And that's who I want to be. Create a vision for yourself of being that holy person. You can all do it. If you couldn't do it, you wouldn't be alive. Because that's your mission in this world. That's one. Two is you have to set boundaries so that you don't fall off the track. You have to set boundaries for yourself where you're saying, I'm not going there. There are certain places that are just really bad for me to go. I'm going to get pulled down by other people, pulled down by whatever I'm being exposed to, which means I don't go on the internet under my covers. Which means I don't go out to the Rova Square when there's girls in miniskirts walking around in the holiest area in the world. I don't. It's not for me. I'm a holy Jew. I'm a piece of Hashem. It means I'm not associating with people and a lifestyle that are so antithetical to my goals. I'm dreaming to achieve this for myself, and instead there's somebody else who's taking me away and saying, no, let's do this. Is it hard? Is it self-sacrifice? Yeah, it's self-sacrifice. But only through self-sacrifice do we become great. And when we do this, when we build ourselves up, it will not only allow us to discover and bring out the Kedusha, the holiness within ourselves, it's going to make all of life better in the long term. You don't want Cupid to sneak up on you in the secretary? You want to be in control of yourself? This is where it's at. This is where you become the ruler, the king of your castle. Do you own yourself? Are you the jockey? Or are you the horse? This is where it happens. David Berger has a beautiful explanation where he talks about Shomer Negiah. He says, imagine a secular guy, very good looking, very popular. He's got another girlfriend every 2 months. He's okay, as most secular people are, they're physically active, they're girlfriends. And then, he's whatever he is, 25, 30, whatever he is, he settles down. He meets the girl. And he says, okay, we're going to get married, we're going to start a family, right? And they're married for a few months, maybe a year. And he's starting to get antsy. He's starting to feel like, I've never been with one person this long. His marriage is a jail. It's a sexual jail. Nobody wants that. Your wife is your Ezer Kenegdo. Your wife is your greatest partner in bringing out your mission in life. Imagine another guy. The guy who went to yeshiva his whole life. He's 18 years old. 20 years old, 24 years old, whatever it is, he's never touched a girl. You think he doesn't have hormones? You think he doesn't see pretty girls on the street? You think he doesn't have all the same feelings we have? Of course he does. He gets married. He's with this girl who he appreciates so much. We'll have to talk later on about how that relationship is so much richer than all these shallow physical relationships. And now, you know what? You know what? This girl is his sexual redeemer. His marriage is so much stronger. Rather than seeing her as the ball and chain, like they say on TV, she's not a jailer. She's bringing him relief from all the tension, from all the bad feelings, from all the stress that he had to go through in the past. And his marriage is so much stronger for him. So not only in the esoteric, mystical worlds of our mission in life and the peace of God inside of us and our holiness does this Yetzer Hara need to be conquered, but just for a good, practical, happy, married life. We have to know that there's one girl out there that we want to invest all of our energy into because she's going to be our greatest partner. She's going to be the mother of our children. She's going to make me happy for, please God, 60, 80 years. And any other girl that you're with before that, she's just spoiling that. Every Shabbos we sing Eishes Chayil. Eishes Chayil Mi Yimsa. A woman of valor, who can find? I've never seen anybody say this, but I've noticed a pattern. That Hashem knows, obviously Hashem knows what we go through. Hashem knows how hard it is for us to conquer that Yetzer Hara, to walk down the street and see beautiful women and try not to think about them, try not to look at them in inappropriate ways. And He sees how much we conquer that Yetzer Hara, and we try to bring out the Kedusha inside of us. And when you do that, when He sees that, when He sees that you're making an effort and you're saying, Hashem, I want a life of Kedusha. I'm not chasing after cheap thrills and easy girls and just physical pleasures. He rewards you. He rewards you. He says, you're saving your physical pleasures to be channeled into holiness? I'm going to make it that much better. And such people are Zocha to beautiful wives, to beautiful families, people who are mizdabek, they have a dveikus, a clinging with Hashem, that dveikus comes out somewhere else. V'davak b'ishto, the dveikus comes out in the relationship with his wife. So in Parshas Chayesara, where Yitzchak gets married to Rivka, even Avram gets remarried to Keturah. There's a minhag to talk about shiduchim. There's a minhag to talk about marriage, because it's ultimately what brings out our greatest potential. Gentlemen, you may not be there yet, but take what I'm saying. File it into your brains and file it into your hearts, because we're going to be on a path now for the rest of the year, growing, building ourselves, getting inspired, building that inner sanctuary of who we are, that piece of, holding on to that piece of Hashem. And you know where it's ultimately going to be manifest? You know where that's going to come out? Everything that you're building, you know where it's going to come out? It's going to come out in your homes, at your Shabbos table with your wife and your kids, sitting around singing Zmiros, saying Divrei Torah. And you want to look at that girl across the table, a beautiful wife, and say, I earned her because I gave myself to Hashem. And the emptiness that we feel now because we're lacking, we're missing a rib, that emptiness we feel now, you know what? If you fill that up with Hashem, then the rest of your life He will fill with much, much bracha. I want to end with a bracha and one other announcement. Hashem should bless you all. Have a clear vision of yourselves. To have a clear vision of your future ahead. The future that you want to build. The Jewish beautiful future. The Jewish home that you want to build. And He should give you the strength to overcome the Yetzer Haras that are going to take away from that vision. And He should give you the strength in the Yetzer HaTov to make good decisions. And to do the right things. To stay away from the bad influences. And the negative distractions. And be zocher to build yourselves into the greatest B'nai Torah that you can be, and build beautiful, beautiful Jewish homes. Amen. I promised Aaron Wernick that I would give him a shout out. So I just did.